reporting.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Black Air spoils an attack position.
Let's see what we have here.
A little flyover here. Let's come around, Red 5.
I've got different coordinates than what our comm says.
They can't be.
Got the chatter, pilots. We've got a mission to...
What was that?
Red 5, Red 5.
Come around to point 02 and stabilize.
Red 5?
We would be honored if you would join us.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. How is everyone doing in this fantastic Wednesday afternoon? Man, this is Charlie Skywalker here, and I'm bringing you something a little different today. A lot of you know me as a Star Wars guy, but here recently we've been talking about a lot of different fandoms. Harry Potter, Chronicles of Narnia, Stranger Things. But one of my fandoms is something that a lot of people don't really talk about much anymore, unfortunately. And that is the world of professional wrestling. Man, I tell you, I've been a fan of wrestling ever since I was a kid with the 1980s cartoon. So I try to keep up with it as best as I can. And I stumbled upon a YouTube section for a wrestling company. It's an up-and-coming wrestling company. And I was really intrigued by the product that I saw and some of the promos that I saw these guys doing. And so I reached out, and with me today is Merrick Wolf. Merrick, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having the champ on.
Absolutely, champ. Man, I'm telling you. So I'm sure you're a lot like me, growing up and just having a blast watching the different wrestling factions that they had at the time. WCW wasn't really as big as it was, say, in the 90s and early 2000s, but we did have WWE and then some other local wrestling places. I remember seeing some for when I was living in Texas as a kid I can't remember. They wrestled at the Sportatorium. The Von Erichs were there, the Freebirds. Growing up, what was your favorite wrestlers? Who did you admire as you were growing up?
Growing up there, the product, I watched just about everything from the NWAs to the WCWs, WWE, TNA or Impact as it's called now. I've even gone back, and I've studied things from like WCCW and just basically any pro wrestling I get my hands on. Shawn Michaels, definitely probably my favorite of all time.
I think I'm cute, I know I'm sexy, I've got the looks, the drives are going wild.
wild. I've got the moves. That really move. I said, chill.
Then, you know, I mean, I got to say The Rock because the charisma is off the charts.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And then Sting was definitely my other in the top three there because, you know, he just had it watching that that hour-long Broadway with Ric Flair. That was just unbelievable. So, I mean, that would probably be my three biggest favorite wrestlers.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think I must be a little bit older than you because I will go a little bit. One of my all-time favorite wrestlers is Junkyard Dog. And I'm not sure why I picked him, but I even liked him better than Hogan back in the day, the early 80s. There's something about his charisma, just the way that he sold everything. I just completely believed everything that he did in the ring, and was a real physical specimen as well, and could do it all from from in and out of the ring. His mic work was good as well, and I've always kind of been a fan of the underdog, and so he wasn't quite as popular as some of the others, which kind of endeared him to me as well. But I did like Hogan. Andre the Giant was another one that I liked. And as you said, The Rock was big. He's tons and tons and tons of charisma. One of my favorite wrestlers that I've actually gotten to speak to was Big Show.
Well, it's a big show.
Having a couple of conversations with him, he's just this down-earth, big mammoth of a guy, but you'll never meet anybody more friendly and willing to talk to you about anything, not even just wrestling, but just the world in general. But on the converse, did you ever have some wrestlers that you just couldn't get into, either their character or personality or ring style, that you just really didn't see the hype behind them?
Definitely. Probably number one on my list is Hulk Hogan. Never really liked him. Never got behind him during that whole era. I was the only kid in the room rooting for the Macho Man Randy Savage while everybody else was going for Hogan. So Hogan's definitely the top of my list. Stone Cold Steve Austin. And this is probably gonna get a lot of hate, but I never really he was never really my guy. I mean, he was all right, but he wasn't the guy I looked forward to watching on TV. Kind of just like, eh, it's Stone Cold, whatever. And then, as far as another one I never really got behind, it definitely would be Bret Hart. He never really resonated with me for some reason. So,
yeah, I mean, and I can definitely understand that. I think we're in the same boat as Hogan, or on the Hogan aspect of it. To me, he had, like three moves. He had a ham fist, and then he'd fall down, he'd Hulk up, and then he'd do a leg drop, and that was the end of the match. I didn't like his mic work. I thought was subpar. I think he would have benefited by having someone like a Paul Heyman nowadays that could speak for him. I just couldn't get behind that character. Another one that I didn't like as far as character goes, but enjoyed the wrestling technique, was Ric Flair. I just for whatever reason couldn't get behind that character, but man, that guy could wrestle. And didn't care how big or small that you were, whether he wanted to put you over or if it was just a squash. He brought it every night and was absolutely amazing wrestler. Just hated that character. And then let's see, man. If I had to pick the another one, I like Stone Cold's mic work, but yeah, again, another one. I just wasn't really a big fan of his wrestling. Back and forth, and then stomp, 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 and then hit him with a stunner, and it's done. But as far as being able to work the mic, which is part of the business. He was one of the all-time greats as far as that goes. But yeah. All right. So I'm sure you've been to a lot of different shows, a lot of different productions. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I was thinking about it. I wrote down a few things here. You have your general house shows. For the big time companies such as, WWE and WCW, AEW now, when they were doing all the tours and whatnot, not quite as big of a production as, say, TV goes, but they still packed rear ends in the seats and put a pretty good performance out there. And then you have your live shows as far as TV tapings and things like that. And then you have like your bigger shows, your pay-per-views that can either be, just a even larger, TV taping or something as huge as WrestleMania. Give me your rundown on those. Is there a particular type that you like more than another one?
I mean, of course, TV, like your TV live shows such as, AEW Dynamite, Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, those are okay. I've been to a couple of the TV tapings of Monday Night Raw in Dallas, and it's all right, but there's so many rules because, there's live cameras going around, so there's things you can't really do or you can't really say. It's way more strict. So I don't enjoy it as much. I prefer the house show type environment because, I mean, yeah, there's no cameras there, and the wrestlers get to be a little more loose, and, you know, it's just way more interactive. There's less time constraint, and, you know, you get to see these wrestlers go out and have fun while putting on these matches, and it brings the crowd into a whole new level of participation. So those are probably my favorite. And then, I mean, I do enjoy pay-per-view. I don't so much watch AEW's pay-per-views. They kind of lost me a little bit. But you know, WWE pay-per-views I watch consistently, and, you know, I enjoy most of them. You know, they have the occasional, you know, stinker of the pay-per-view, but, you know, I like them, but I definitely got to say, like, house shows and even indie shows are head and shoulders above all the rest.
You know, and I think I agree with you. I've been to all three and indie shows as well. And the house shows, there's just that air of fun about them. And they can try new things without, and just to see if it works. And if it doesn't work, no big deal. They still have a laugh about it, and they still go out and perform. They're not under those time constraints, as you said. If I was to rank them, house shows would probably be number one. Number two would be pay-per-view. I've been to a few of the pay-per-views, and there's just... it's a TV taping set to 11. It's just, it's an absolute monster of a show. There are restrictions that do apply, especially as, fan signs and t-shirts and things that they do, that are now more tightly controlled. Everything is more strictly regimented, but it's that air of, hey, this is a big time event. And then the live shows that are going out. And I'm going to get your opinion on a pay-per-view here in just a minute. But do you have any crazy stories from either your experience as a wrestler or just a show or something that you've been a part of that's just like kind of out of this world?
There's even, you know, being on the performance side of wrestling and having experienced wrestling in indies and now in UAW, it really depends on what somebody calls crazy, because, you know, the world of professional wrestling is already, you know, kind of out of this world in the first place. So, as a wrestler, you kind of get sort of desensitized about it because unless you're like at a WrestleMania type thing, you're performing in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, but, you know, you kind of get in this mindset that it's just another day at the office. I've wrestled in just about any kind of match. Definitely probably the crazier stories come from, you know, like deathmatch, hardcore kind of things, diving off, you know, structures and objects and using objects as weapons. But I can't really think off the top of my head of like one particular story that I would consider head and shoulders above like the world of professional wrestling in general. So, and I don't really have anything I can really talk about.
Right. So I had two come to mind when I was thinking of things to ask you here. One of them came from a pay-per-view, and it just blew my mind. This was, I guess it was in the late 90s, maybe early 2000. But they had the Ministry of Darkness with the Undertaker going, and they were about to or I guess they did put Stephanie up on this big structure right there in the middle of the ring. And I couldn't believe how far they were taking this. And then all of a sudden, you know, here came Stone Cold down to save the day. And I was like, wow, you know, as a fan, that was pretty crazy as that goes. Through storyboarding and, you know, and the different storylines that they have going. And then another crazy one that I had was at a WWE Monday Night Raw. And they had already cut off the cameras. And it was the one of the times that DX had gotten back together. Shawn Michaels was there, Triple H, China, I guess one of them had, Shawn Michaels had left DX or was out for some time for whatever reason. And then he came in to save the day right at the end of the show. And then, you know, they turned everything off. All the house lights came on. You know, some of the wrestlers went around and were shaking hands with some of the fans. And as they were going back towards the back, I guess a fan said something to Triple H. Don't know what was said. It was just a fan. And Triple H took so much offense to whatever was said. He hopped the rail and went after the guy. Everyone at first thought it was a, you know, this got to be a work. But like, there's nobody around. There were no other officials. Half the place was emptied out. And yeah, he got mad, hopped that rail and just tore after a fan. And that was pretty crazy. But yeah, I mean, yeah, and as you said, you know, it's, there's so many different aspects to professional wrestling that it's hard to say what is you know what is crazy and what's not. You guys, you know, just a normal wrestling match would make some people think, well, you know, hey, that guy's just crazy for even stepping in the ring. And you guys put it on the line night after night. You know, show after show, as you said, jumping off things or doing aerials or different match types. It's it is a crazy business. What made you want to get into this business?
You know, it's hard for me to remember the exact circumstances. But I remember my mom. She was super big into professional wrestling. This had to be back in like 96-ish. And I remember we were flipping through channels and my mom switched it to wrestling. And I had been playing outside as kids do. And she asked me if I wanted to come watch wrestling with her. So I came in and I remember the first visual I had was the very beginning of the NWO Scott Hall, Hogan and Kevin Nash, and they had attacked a bunch of wrestlers in the parking lot. And the visual that sticks in my head was Kevin Nash pressed Rey Mysterio over his head and threw him into the side of a like production. It almost looked like a trailer type mm-hmm. thing, just like benched him and threw him into it. And then they spray painted NWO and everything. And cops showed up and the NWO bolted. And I remember that's like the moment right there that I was just like, you know, this is pretty cool. I want to keep watching it. So basic fandom turned to it. I became obsessed and would, you know, I started studying it from, you know, very, very old primitive wrestling all the way up to that current product. And, you know, it's just something that has stuck with me. And I realized right then and there, like I was going to be a wrestler, you know, whether it be whatever it took for me to get there, I was going to do it. And, you know, there was going to be nobody that could tell me no.
Nice. Yeah. And hey, look at you now. You're a champ. So, you know, I would say that you probably made a really good choice there. But before we get into you being the champ and UAW wrestling, I just wanted to get a quick thought. We have a pay-per-view that's getting ready to come up. I guess it's this Sunday with the Royal Rumble. And I was going to see, who do you feel, since I know you're a student of the game here, who do you feel is going to win the Royal Rumble? Question one. Question two is, who do you think will be the most surprising entrant into the Rumble?
Let's see. After watching Monday Night Raw, I had to switch my pick because the promo that Edge put out there, I mean, how can he not win at this point? So with that kind of promo, so I mean, my pick now is Edge, but if I had to say a second backup, I would say Cesaro. Because I mean, that dude's just a machine, and he's, you know, he's been stuck in the mid card forever, and you know, I think now's the time to pull the trigger and give Cesaro the spotlight he deserves.
You know, I was before Raw, I was I was on the same kind of idea that you were. For some reason, I don't know. I think they're going to give it to Big E. I don't know if he's ready for it, but they're kind of been pushing him. And so I could see that possibly happening. But after that promo by Edge, I really could see them working a program around him. I think that would be a great story and something that would resonate with the fans.
Absolutely.
So as far as surprise entrance, because we always get a few, who do you think that they're going to tap that would be like the most shocking?
That's kind of tough because, you know, in the world of wrestling nowadays, there's so many dirt sheets and sources and, you know, surprises get out there pretty quick, especially the week of the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple times where they surprise everybody, like last year with Edge coming back to the ring. Nobody saw that coming. There's no dirt sheets that saw it coming. I honestly think I don't see there being like this really big surprise in the men's rumble, at least. I think it's going to be, you know, the standard, you know, here's a legend or two, and maybe a couple NXT wrestlers. But I don't see there being like a huge, huge surprise there. The women's, I think, is going to be where the most surprises happen because there's a lot less women declared for the Rumble than there are men. Mm-hmm. So there's way more opportunity for people that you would never expect. Like I personally think Taya Valkyrie is going to show up in the Women's Rumble, especially now that she's done with Impact Wrestling. Her husband, Morrison, is already in the company. So, I mean, I'm fairly mm-hmm. certain that's where she's going. She's probably going to show up in the Rumble. But yeah, I think in all honesty, I mean, you might get your Trish Stratus, maybe Lita, people like that. But yeah, Taya Valkyrie, I think, is going to be the biggest surprise in the Rumble.
Would you be surprised if they go and somehow land CM Punk?
As a fan, I would absolutely lose my mind because, you know, CM Punk, through his era of wrestling, is probably one of the biggest influences on me as a performer. I think the only thing that would surprise me is Punk is such a master of trolling everybody that, you know, everybody's gotten so accustomed to around this time of year. He will put out a fake hint just to troll people. So if they really want to surprise somebody and Punk really wants to surprise somebody I mean, now would probably be the time to do it because everybody's just so used to him just dropping the troll hint that he's going to be in the Rumble at whatever number, and then he never shows up. So,
right, right. See, and that's why I ask, because normally by now we normally see those type of posts, but I don't guess I've seen one.
There's been a couple.
Well, I know a fan asked him, you know, hey, what's your favorite number between 1 and 30? And he answered 13. But, I mean, everybody knows the answer to that one. I mean, that's really not a thing. And I don't know. I think he's softening up a little bit, especially after his his time that he had, I can't remember the program's name off the top of my head, where they went over a lot of the different wrestling news that was going on, and he was able to speak his mind. And so, you know, I don't know. I would love to see him come back and do something. I don't know if he would ever wrestle full time again. But I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I see it kind of being like a part-time WrestleMania thing. If he does show up, I could easily see him show up and eliminate Seth Rollins, and it leads to Rollins Punk at Mania, because there's a lot of Twitter back and forth between those guys. If he were to show up, that would be what my money would be on.
Right, right. So one last question before we get into the UAW. What are your thoughts about Goldberg challenging Drew McIntyre? Is there an age where, or a productivity level where you should just say, you know what, enough's enough? We see him, this is the first time we've seen him since last year, maybe? I think the only person that can get away with it's Undertaker, and that he's just a staple of the, of the company, and he hung it up. But last time I saw Goldberg, I wasn't impressed. I don't know. What do you think?
So, I mean, we all know how Vince McMahon operates around WrestleMania season. He's got to bring in these box office guys that he thinks are going to draw, money to WrestleMania. And then in some ways of thinking, they do. But I honestly think this Goldberg thing, at first, I thought, what better way to have Drew McIntyre further be put on the map than have him put down Goldberg. But the more and more I've watched wrestling and really thought of it leading up to Royal Rumbles, I don't think either of them are walking out with the WWE Championship. I think this is a vehicle to give The Miz a cash-in. I firmly believe these two are going to kill each other, and The Miz is going to cash in, walk out the WWE Champion, leading to Edge winning the Rumble, Miz versus Edge at WrestleMania, Edge beating Miz and having his WrestleMania moment.
Oh, I mean, as much as I like The Miz, that could work. It really could. I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. That'd be cool if that happened. I do like The Miz as well. I think that he's shown great evolution for himself over his career, he could get a good boost and have an amazing WrestleMania moment. If that were to happen, it would definitely be hands down. Just to give it over to Edge so he could have his moment, which would be definitely well deserved.
Absolutely.
So on to something that might be a little more closer to home for you, and that's UAW wrestling. So as I said at the top of the interview here, that I try to follow a lot of different things on YouTube, and I happened to come across your channel and started watching. I believe it was Apocalypse was the name of it, and then really got into it and started listening to the promos that you have on there as well. So tell me a little bit about UAW Wrestling. What do we got going on there?
UAW Wrestling is the new era of a company that is, you know, has been around that area for a long time, just nothing on the scale that it is now. It went into a brief hiatus. It was first XIAW Wrestling, and that was very, very, very DIY backyard type thing. Just a bunch of kids, you know, trying to be wrestlers. And I was one of those guys that started that company. I was the guy who came up with the concept, got all my friends, and we all tried to be wrestlers. And then it evolved into XWX Wrestling. And we kind of just continued, and it was getting better, and we were learning more and more about wrestling and evolving more. And then we took a brief hiatus, with COVID and everything happening. And, we came back and did Apocalypse. And that was my first show back. Like I traveled down 10 hours to be, on the card, and it's a lot of planning coming to fruition, a lot of long-term planning.
Nice. Yeah, I really liked the product that I saw, which is what made me reach out to you and have you on. So I know that with this COVID business happening now, the roster's kind of slimmed down a little bit. But you have yourself, Jay Havoc or Havoc or something like that?
Joey Havoc, yeah.
Joey Havoc, okay. And then there was a Swole Taco or Swole Tico.
Taku,
Swole that's Taku. It, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'll probably call him Swole Taco just because, just that's just what I'm used to there. But, hopefully he won't catch an offense. And if he does, hey, you can come on the show and vent to me about that as well. So, and then I believe there was a fourth one. I didn't catch his name. I don't believe.
That would be Jack Corvus.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Awesome. A lot of mystery with these guys. Like I said, some of them have promos that are on the YouTube channel as well. And I thought that they did really well with that. So, referring to those promos, let's take Havoc first. He almost seemed to hold you responsible for his current situation. I don't know. You didn't really knock down his building, right?
No, like I had nothing to do with that. And to be honest, like I don't really care about his asylum. Like I've never really cared about that. Where I care is when you step between those ropes with me, that's where my care starts. His building got knocked down. Okay. But, he wants to come at me, it's one of those things like, I'm the champ and I won't hesitate to knock him down a few more pegs if he wants to step to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, does it seem like he's, that grudge? Is it just because you're the champ or does he really think that, you are responsible for whatever's going on in his cracked mind?
I think Havoc's the kind of guy that when something goes wrong in his life, he searches out people to blame, and he's just decided, since I'm the guy with the strap, the guy in the spotlight right now, that he wants to latch out that that blame on me. And that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I don't really care. I got better things to do as champion than worry about him and his poor little destroyed building.
Right, right.
But Havoc and I go way back. You know, this isn't just new. Like, Havoc has been around since the very beginnings of this company, the XIEW, that I told you about. Mm-hmm. That backyard company, he was there. I mean, obviously under different personas, but him and I go way, way back. You know, I caught this other podcast that happened recently that Havoc was on, and he, you know, he had some choice words for me there too. So, I mean, this goes way back. There's a lot of history there.
Right, right. Well, I mean, from the match that I saw in his performance there, maybe he should just be called Timex. That dude just, he takes a licking and he just keeps on ticking. He just charges in it with no concern for himself or others, and just has that simple mindset of crush whatever's in front of him. So, really, really interesting thoughts there. He really seems to have it out for you. But speaking of having it out for you, I also caught a promo from Swole Taku, and he seemed like he was an up and comer. A newer guy, newer wrestler to the scene. But he had some choice words, as well there. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the politest way to say this. And, he seems to think that because you own the company that you get an unfair advantage, that you have what I've heard in the business is, the golden shovel. Have you ever heard that expression before?
Oh, absolutely. And, during that hiatus, I left a very different guy than I am now. I left everything out there for those fans, for my fellow wrestlers, for the product. And I kept hearing this narrative that all my accomplishments, everything I've ever done, there's an asterisk next to those because I own the company, because I created the company, and that I somehow booked myself to be successful. And I sat and I stewed on that for a very long time, and it made me realize that those other people don't, those people, those wrestlers, those fans, they don't deserve me to be their guy. They don't deserve me to be the guy that does what they think is the right thing anymore. So when I came back to Apocalypse, my goal was simply that I was going to win the XWX championship, and I was going to use that as a vehicle to burn XWX to the ground and create something new, a new era, my new era. And that's what I did. I walked in there, won that belt, came out. So, you know, as far as them saying that I've got a golden shovel, the only gold thing I've got is this belt. But as far as a shovel, they step in the ring with me, I'll be happy to bury them.
Wow, that's some powerful words right there. Oh, I could feel it. So, man, in this, there is an upcoming show that I've heard about, and there's even going to be a ladder match. I can't remember the exact term that was used, but some sort of conditional ladder match between Swole Taku and Havoc that are going to give the winner a shot at your title. Is that true?
Absolutely. So the skinny on that situation is this. You know, these guys, two of these guys that seem to have some kind of issue with me, they're going to go to war in what they call the last rights ladder match. And that briefcase at the top, kind of like your money in the banks, except this is a little bit different. In there, this contract is conditional to where, yes, they can cash in any time they want. However, they also get to choose any stipulation on the fly for that cash-in title match. And, you know, that's, you know, cool.
Isn't that a champion, bit risky, though?
I mean, it is. And, you know, but I've said it in a couple promos, and I'll leave it out here on this podcast, too. I'm going to hold on to this title for a very long time, and that means any means necessary. There will be no low that I will not stoop to keep this belt around my waist. So, as far as I'm concerned, these two can kill each other in a ladder match. That's cool, because later in the middle, in the end of the night, you know, Havoc and I are going one-on-one to settle the score for my title. So, like, if they want to kill each other, I'll be happy to just pick the bones of what's left.
Wow. All right. So, speaking of that, the variable stipulations, is there a match type that might not, you know, be suited for you, or one that, or even one that you might even just really excel at? What, you know, so we'll take one of each, you know, one that you really don't like to participate in, and one that, you know, anytime it's offered to you, man, that's the match you're going to take.
See, this is a tough question, because I've been in this business for a long time. I've innovated a lot of the matches and these wrestling companies that I've been a part of. You know, there's not really a match I won't accept. I like to think I'm a jack of all trades. I can excel just about any situation. I adapt. You know, I'm that's just who I am as a person and a competitor. You know, I've already got, you know, I think if I did lack anywhere, it'd probably be submission type things. But the thing is I'm even pretty good about that. So, whatever these guys pick, whoever wins, you know, they're going to have their work cut out for them, you know? And yeah, it does give Havoc a little bit of an advantage, because not only could he win the briefcase, he's got that shot in the main event, so he could just turn around and get another shot. And, you know, that might stack the odds a little bit to him, especially, you know, that main event match is an hour long, no rules type match. But I'm still pretty confident that I'm going to be the UAW champion for a very, very long time. And I plan on using this belt to shove it in everybody's face, where that no matter what, they cannot doubt how damn good that I am.
Mighty strong words. And I bet you are the type that can back those up. So really looking forward to seeing that, that event come to fruition and everything. Why don't you tell the people out there that are listening in where they can find more about UAW wrestling, you know, any social media or YouTube or anything like that, that they can come in and check you guys out.
All right. So the quick rundown, you can catch us on YouTube at UAW Wrestling. Catch our promos there. There will be some more leading up to our March 14th show at UAW Inception. But yeah, you can catch us there. Gonna be a lot. You'll be able to hear from the other guys and, of course, myself. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMerrickWolf. I understand Havoc has a Twitter at BDMHavoc. Swole apparently has one at SwoleTaku24. And you can follow UAW themselves at UAWIsWrestling on Twitter.
Awesome. Hopefully we'll get a lot of traffic going your way. So the last thing that I have for you here is any parting words that you want to, you know, bestow upon the two gentleman that could face you in the near future?
Absolutely. My message isn't just for them, though. It's for every single person out there who has doubted me and has buried me and turned their backs on me. Simply this. At UAW Inception, March the 14th, when I get into that arena, anybody that stands across that ring from me, in that locker room from me, they're going to know that I am the man. There is nobody better. There will never be anybody better. And you know, the thing about them is they think they're the heroes of the story, but no, they're nothing but a footnote in mine. Bottom line, gentlemen, bottom line, fans, I will definitely be seeing you March the 14th at Inception, and I will be showing you the start of my era.
Wow. All right, man. Mr. Wolf, thank you very much for joining me on the show. Folks, go check them out. UAW Wrestling, it's going to be absolutely electric. I'll have this in the show notes as far as where to find everybody again. Thanks again for the interview and for coming on. And we will see everyone real soon.
Thanks for having the champ on.
Hello there.
Rancho Obi-Wan, the Guinness World Records certified largest Star Wars memorabilia collection, located in Petaluma, California, featuring the collection of super collector, author, and Star Wars fan ambassador Steve Sansweet.
The most powerful Jedi ever.
Visit RanchoObi-Wan.org and subscribe to the Rancho Obi-Wan Virtual Museum, a fun, authentic fan experience featuring rare photos, videos, Steve Sansweet Q&As, virtual tours of the museum, exclusive behind-the-scenes stories and information, and so much more. Plus, your subscription helps ensure the future of the museum. It's the Rancho Obi-Wan Virtual Museum. Subscribe now at RanchoObi-Wan.org. Get tons of cool perks, information, and history of Star Wars collecting from the man who knows it best, Steve Sansweet, while contributing to the preservation of the world's largest Star Wars memorabilia collection. RanchoObi-Wan.org.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content,
make sure you head over to Red5Network.com.
You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more.
All wings report in.
It's the Red 5 Network.